Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Kone 36 Central African time. You heard the brother say, Hak, he said it right from the heart. Try it, Boniface. Come on, tell it with me. Hak. Yeah, he's doing it, people. And alhamdulillah, lovely nasheed's coming through. But someone that is on the hak and speaks the truth, like he always does, the firebrand parliamentarian, well known throughout the world, our very own Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam. He's also the leader of the NFP. Ahmad, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all is well. Well, the latest report we've got, we've just, every forum is talking about patrolling our borders with their sniffer dogs. I'm not sure whether they're wanting to take over the defense force and the border police and South African police services as a whole, but they are actually offering their services. Iqbal Suwaib, of course, he's had his victory. The Equality Court has given judgment in his favor and have now compelled the Nedbank to open up the bank accounts that they have unduly closed. The Zondo Commission report, I'm told, electronically was handed over last night, but there will be an official handover sometime today. But more and more focus appears to be on the president and the Farmgate scandal. Of course, people, you know, the auction is expected to, or supposed to be taking place, and media have been there and found the Niala. Can you imagine from public order policing? I don't understand what has that got to do with your private business that you are conducting on the farm. But there's a lot of concerns that's being raised about that. Of course, COSATU is in the forefront of raising concerns about the 3% increase that has been given to public representatives countrywide. That includes, executive members of parliament, chairpersons, and councillors. All of them are expected to get 3% increase, something they haven't received for a few years. The march to the union buildings by the youth on June 16 perhaps indicates that might be a turning point in politics in the country, because we might be going back to what happened in 1976, where the youth of in 1976 were protesting. And it seems like all indications are that we might be heading in that direction, where there's going to be more and more protest. And this is not going to augur well for the country, given the situation we have, the economic situation in the country, the amount of damages were done as a result of the previous protest, and what it cost us already, the strike by some of these truck drivers. They're talking about 300 million rand. That is what the estimated cost is to the economy. So there's a whole lot that's actually going on. But of course, there are more and more questions being raised about the president, his conduct as far as the farm gate, the fact that he's not coming clean as to exactly what has happened. And I think this is going to intensify. I'm told that there's someone has also gone and opened a criminal charge in Durban against the president on gender-based violence, on the girl that used to work on the farm that was attacked by these people. So there's a whole lot that appears to be going on, an ugly fight that's going on. And the RDT is coming out guns blazing. It really indicates that we can expect a very rough ride, Brother Shafiq, from now leading to this conference, which is expected at the end of this year. Remember what happened at Luthuli House the other day. Journalists have been raising concern that they were trapped for over an hour because there were protests from the northwest, I think, branches of the ANC. So you can see where we are heading. It's going to be a disaster, you know, if politicians and political parties use the high unemployment rate amongst the youth. Remember, an idle youth is a destructive youth. And they're going to use them in their numbers, and we're going to have chaos throughout the country. You know, you're going to get into a state of anarchy in the country. So I don't know. I hope that this message is being taken seriously by government, that they address the challenges that we face in the country. You know, I was yesterday interviewed by a media house from Ghana in the African continent, and they were raising concerns about gender-based violence and crime as a whole and xenophobia and things like that yesterday. And I had to, you know, explain to them, you know, why we have such high levels of crime and gender-based violence. You have to go to the root cause of the problem, and we have to start there if we want to create a better society of the future. But I can tell you that the youth you have of today are certainly not going to be the future of this country if we don't address the challenges that they face.
Now, Ahmed, the reality of the situation in this country is that, you know, politicians and people that are in a position of power are making news headlines for the wrong reasons, and nothing positive about it. You'll see some of them, you know, some of these people that are in, you know, the MECs and so forth, and a part of the ANC and other, you know, groupings that are in politics. You find that they're looting the banks, they're looting the coffers, and they are, some of them are involved in fraud, and some of them are involved in hijacking of cars and so forth. How can you have people, you know, in a position of power doing things like this, Ahmed? And then you have your president there, you know, he's got his auction going on. I thought you'll be buying that big bull there, but that guy beat you by 10 rand. So he's paid 1.5 million for it. But on a more serious note, Ahmed, I think as if, you know, it seems as if the people in position of power, most of them are complicit here, Ahmed.
Yeah, to a very large extent, I think we're in a state of lawlessness. There's no doubt about it. And it's very unfortunate that, you know, you're getting these things, you know, again and again and again on a daily basis. There's something new coming up. You know, if you look at the Auditor General's report, very damning report on the state of local government particularly. And I think it is time that, you know, we put our differences aside and find common ground to be able to address the challenges that exist and close the loopholes and the gaps that exist. But whether we will do that, given the fact that we rely on this to sustain ourselves, that's the other point. On the issue of the president, I think it's very important that the president comes clean, although I don't see how he's going to do that, because the information that's unfolding is going to make it very difficult for the president to come out of this one, to be honest with you. The only way I believe he can come out is if he's well connected, which he is, with the different role players in this country, like the police and the judiciary and that kind of thing. Otherwise, I think he's in for a rough ride here. But also remember, the focus of attention now has moved to the Farmgate scandal, no more the Zondo Commission and state capture as a whole. So the focus of attention is actually moving, and people want more answers now on the Farmgate scandal than they want on anything else. You know, the Radical Economic Transformation Group, or those of the Zuma Group, are doing a good job in terms of communicating and getting the message across and getting people, you know, hyped up and protesting and that kind of thing. It's exactly the same thing that happened in the country when it came to the anti-vaxxers. They produced a lot more than the government and the National Department of Health and SEPRA ever did. So, you know, negative publicity makes you more and more popular in the country, and the media is having a field day. No doubt about it. I mean, they even picked up the Nyala, so they've been camping there, you know. So it clearly indicates that how the media actually also thrives, you know. They don't, you know, play any part in trying to create a positive outcome in the country, because they can only sell negative stuff. And that's the problem we're sitting on also. So yes, we're in for a tough time, no doubt about it. This thing of the president is going to make headlines, and it's not going to go away anytime soon, I can assure you. And the next thing you're going to hear is that there's going to be an impeachment or a vote of no confidence wanting to ask him. Then you're going to have those that are going to ask him to step down so that he can't participate in the next conference. And he's going to have a problem because that's the purpose of opening up these criminal charges. Remember that. Once you open up criminal, but remember there's a difference between somebody opening up a charge and you being charged. So you can go to the police station and you can lay a report, but until the public prosecutor decides or the NPA, whoever it is, decides in depending on the severity of the matter and who's there, it falls under. Until they decide to charge you means there's no charges. And the requirement in terms of the step aside is that if you are charged. And so he's not charged at this stage. So that's the situation the way it is. However, you know, if you heard what Arthur Fraser said, he's had meetings with the Hawks and things. So I'm not sure what the Hawks are investigating, you know, at this stage. If the charge hasn't been, they haven't decided to charge him or not. Perhaps they want to see whether there is a case for the president to answer or not. But clearly, with the information that's unfolding, he has a case. Why haven't you reported it to the police? What happened to those criminals? You know, did you declare to SARS? I mean, if you look at the price that people pay for the animals on his farm, he would have to be paying a lot of taxes. There's no doubt about it. And the question is, you know, is he paying those taxes? Is he declaring these things? How is it you're using state resources? I mean, yes, in Nyala, public order policing is going there when you're having a private sale on your farm. You know, so there's a whole lot, and it's getting progressively worse over every day. There's more and more questions that are arising. So, yeah, I think that's where we are at this stage.
Now, Ahmed, as you say, you spoke about Arthur Fraser, and many are saying, but why did he report it now when the ship sailed 2 years ago? It's gone out of sight. It should be out of mind. Your response to that, Ahmed?
Good question. However, I don't think it's relevant at this stage because the fact is he's reported it. Then the same question should be asking, why didn't the president do anything about it from the time it was brought to his attention? On the other hand, we know that Arthur Fraser is doing this. It might be malicious, you know, based on the fact that his allegiance lies with Zuma and the others. But at the same time, there is evidence that is provided that the president has not disputed one bit. So you know, whilst it's opportune for him to bring it up now, but then, Brother Shepherd, there's another question that arises. If Arthur Fraser knew about this thing 2 years ago and did nothing about it, was he not supposed to also inform the police? Because it means he knew of a criminal act that took place. And he do fail to inform the police. So he better be careful that they don't go for him on that basis, that you were, you know, aware of a criminal act, you knew who the people, you had the evidence, and you did nothing and you waited 2 years to do that. Why didn't you deal with it immediately then? So he can also find himself in trouble. But very importantly, I think all focus is on the president. Why didn't you report it? What happened about the kidnapping there and the abuse that took place, the $150,000 that was paid? Did you declare it? Where did you get this money from? Why you were sitting with so much of foreign currency? Why are you sitting with so much of cash, which is against the law in the country? You know, so there's a whole lot of questions. If you sold the animal, when did you sell it? How long was the money sitting there? How often do you get this kind of money coming into it? Who did you sell it to? If it came from somebody from abroad, when did they take the animals? How did they take it? Which border it went through? If you sold it locally, who is the people? Did those people declare? How is it those people brought cash to you in dollars and paid you? You can see the number of questions. It's endless. That arises out of this incident. So it's really going to be a tough one for the president. I think he chose to keep quiet because he knows he's probably day and night thinking about what do I say. I don't even think the experts are able to help him because there's too many questions to answer, brother. Just too many questions.
Now, Ahmed, who's going to fight his case? Dali Impofu?
Well, Well, I'm not sure about that one, but that will be interesting. Good question, actually, because Dalian Pope is linked to the EFF, and the EFF is one of them that's pushing for him as well. So it will be very interesting to see exactly what. But he has his people that he normally uses, and he perhaps continue using them. But whatever it is, Brother Shepherd, I think for the public and for the politicians as a whole, and all for those that are gunning for him particularly, they're not interested in who is going to go off, who's going to represent him, or the fact that he's going to go to court. They are interested in the fact that he cannot participate, he must be removed, number one. Secondly, if you saw, Brother, I don't know how you read this one. And it's making me believe that there might have been a fallout between the former minister Tito Mboweni and the president. Because he tweeted the other day, Tito Mboweni, the tree, what did he say? The tree is crumbled or collapsing. He puts a picture of a massive tree that is collapsing, you know, and he puts that. So I'm wondering whether he's referring to, you know, the president in the, you know, his future is collapsing and coming to an end. And, you know, so that makes you think that there might have been, because remember, he left at very short notice and things like that. So it seems like there is more to it than that. But yes, more, I think people particularly going to the conference, they're going to want him to step aside and not participate. And very importantly, they're going to, you heard what Jacob Zuma says in his tweet. He says, well, you remember you did it to me, now it's your turn. So he's celebrating. So you can see what this is all about. It's about egos and power and control and that kind of thing. That's what it is more. Then, because all of them, like you said in the very beginning, all of them got like Batabili Dlamini says, all of them got their little, you know, skeletons in the cupboards. That's the problem now.
Now, Ahmad, with the RET group smelling blood and wanting to get into back to where they once belonged. And, you know, would you say if you compare Cyril Ramaphosa's rule, it was really a rocky one, and the ship is definitely on the rocks. And as you said, Tito Mboweni, even when he was given the position, he wasn't happy with it. He said it had been difficult from the moment he was there, and the quicker I got out of it, he was happier. But what happens if the RET, you know, if they come into power, what happens to South Africa then, Ahmad?
First of all, you know, the former minister's concern has been you're making a lot of commitments that you cannot even sustain over the long term. And he, as the Minister of Finance, has to take responsibility for it. I mean, he kept asking, where are you going to get the money from? You cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot continue borrowing. There they're borrowing again. So that's the problem. You know, Brother, the concern is, do we have anybody from the other side to really lead us at this stage? And that's the problem. Unless they want to bring back a person like Thabo Mbeki or so, that's going to be very difficult because the ANC is very weak on leadership at the moment. Very, very weak. There is capacity outside of the mainstream ANC at this point in time. So that's the question that we need to ask, and that's the concern that we should all have. Where will South Africa go, given the fact that, you know, we're not sure of who is going to come in if Cyril Ramaphosa has to go. And I can tell you that the RET faction are going to do everything in their power, together with the support of many political parties, to remove him. That's what they're going to do. And remember, you've still got 6 months to this conference. And they're going to make it unbearable and come up with more and more. And they're going to insist he be charged. And the moment he gets charged means that step-aside rule that he has implemented has got to come into effect. And that's what, and that is what they are pushing for. That is why they're opening charge after charge. I mean, laying a report in different police stations. So the moment he's charged, that's when the trouble starts. Then the matter is going to go to court. Then they will perhaps try and bring an application to stop the conference as well, based on the fact that the step aside. So you can see how the step aside is now might backfire on him as well. So it's going to make it very difficult.
Absolutely. And you know, many say that without the unions, the ANC is like a lame duck. Your response?
Yes, definitely. The tripartite alliance is what's keeping them alive. And I was just saying that Zweli Mkhize, remember, was not asked to leave. He resigned. Mm. So he'll still be a contender as well. But, you know, with all these allegations, you know, hanging over the heads of so many of the leaders, what are you really left with? You know, that's the question. But your other question on the union, there's no doubt the unions are playing a pivotal role in sustaining the ANC, or for the ANC to be where they are. And the moment the unions start splitting and whatever, and remember, unions are already splitting. So that's the other problem you're sitting with. So the and not all the unions that are breaking up from the bigger ones are in support of the ANC. So that's the other thing that you need to worry about. So yes, I think a very rough ride expected in the near future. Very, very rough ride leading to this conference particularly. But that step aside is going to come back to bite the president, I can assure you. And that's all they need is for the police to decide we are now, there is a case to be heard and charge him, and that's it, then he's in trouble. And then, I mean, how are you going to defend him? Because it's his own step-aside rule that they've implemented. How are you going to stop it? Now, if it's going to be good enough for Ace Magashule and Zandile Gumede, then it has to be good enough for the president. That is the unfortunate thing for the president at this point in time. But again, you know, Brother Shepherd, unless he can come up and give a satisfactory response, something that's going to be, which I can't see, you know, and I perhaps that's why he's quiet. He's in trouble. There's no doubt about it. He's in trouble. And there's more that they know that they're going to release shortly.
And then, Ahmed, the final question for you. The ANC and the unions, if they have an alliance, what will happen then to SA?
Well, they do have an alliance, the ANC and the union. And that's how they're going. But if the union, if they break, in other words, the support base, because remember that support is going to go somewhere. Remember, the unions are...
EFF, I think I said the wrong thing. EFF and the unions, what will happen then?
Oh, well, then there's trouble again. But remember, you know, the EFF is also, by the looks of it, in bed with the RETs. Sector of the ANC at this point in time. So it means it will be that group with the EFF together with the unions. That. But the unions will be split because there are those that support the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, and there are those that support the Zuma. I can tell you the taxi associations and things give more support for Zuma than for Cyril Ramaphosa, because remember, Zuma has been more in touch with the people on the ground than Cyril Ramaphosa has been and will ever be. And they are both different in their vision and ideologies and things like that. So that's the other thing. But very dangerous for South Africa, I must be honest with you. Very, very dangerous. In other words, you can see an ANC EFF government. And what does that simply mean for you?
Absolutely, Ahmed. Brilliant talking to you as usual. You bring it alive on any political platforms. Your parting words before we let you go?
Well, you know, given the fact that, I mean, Brother Shepherd, have you seen the price of a flight? From 700 rand, it's gone to 8,000 rand.
Wow.
8,000 rand. That is a single flight from Durban to Cape Town at the moment. 8,086
rand. Ridiculous.
Yes. I mean, what does it simply mean? The Competition Commission is doing very little or nothing to deal with the exploitation that people are being suffering as a result of the collusion between in big business. If you go into the shops and if you look at the price of goods, I was looking there, I was just walking around in the store yesterday. Toilet paper that you were paying 69 rand for, it's gone to 120 rand. Toilet paper, leave alone everything else. So you can see how the big business is exploiting the situation, and the most vulnerable people on the ground are paying the price for it. So my message to our people out there, you're going to need to be, you know, be careful where you shop. And rather support those businesses that, you know are not going to exploit you, even though the wholesale and the manufacturers are controlled by big business in this country. But remember, as a result of small businesses having less overhead, they might be cheaper. So you need to do some good window shopping before you actually shop to spend your money. Because right now, I think the people on the ground are being taken for a ride by business all over. I mean, I don't really honestly believe, and I don't know if you it can be justified, Brother Shafford, that if you charge 700 rand for the flight before, and you had less of a demand before, okay, because there were many other airlines, and now that Comair is gone, why should the price go up now to 8,000 rand? In fact, it should even come down because you've got more capacity. Now you are able to carry more travelers, more passengers. So what's the problem? It should actually come down, but it's going up 8,000 from 700 and some odd rand. Ridiculous, to be honest with you. So it means that, you know, you're going to be exploited for a long period of time to come. And remember, Brother Shafford, there's no problem as far as oil in the country. They've just ensured that they cut the supply in order to increase the prices. That is what they are basically doing. Because even if you can't get Russian oil, which we can get, okay, then you can buy oil from many other countries. But what you've done is you restrict their capacity to produce more. So that you can remember the prices are all based on supply and demand. And it's controlled by a handful of people. And that is basically what is happening in the country at the moment.
Yeah, sad indeed, Ahmed. You have a mashallah blessed day ahead. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.